Blog Talk Radio.
WFAN. Good evening and welcome to the Big Blue Gangrene Power Hour, your place to talk East Rutherford football. It is Tuesday, October 2nd. Eddie, good evening. How are you, my friend? Good to see you.
Smiles, everyone. Smiles. Welcome to Fantasy Island. I'm doing well. Fantastic. I have to say, feeling pretty good. Not feeling good about the football, but otherwise doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. I believe major breaking Blog Talk Radio news here, if I'm correct. The chat room video is working tonight. Holy moly. It must be a full moon.
Oh, let me see what you look like here.
I look the same as I did the last time you saw me. So, good evening, everyone. We have the home of the two and two Jets, the two and two Giants, both teams coming off losses this weekend. One was an absolute demolition, and one was just a typical Giant loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. You can usually narrow a Giants-Eagles game down to two or three plays. This one was no exception. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. We'll start with the Jets because I think that's the bigger topic this week, Eddie. I think I watched more of that game than most Jet fans did. I'm trying to watch the entire game so that I come on here and can be knowledgeable, know what I'm talking about, be a Jet expert like you. And I'll tell you, after watching that whole game, I think it's pretty simple. Jets just aren't that good.
What I said last week, personnel-wise, this team is good. And they aren't good. I mean, obviously, I have to say that loss is an all-timer. I think to lose that badly at home, to get beaten by that score by a team that is really not known for their offense, although the Jets gave a lot of points away, too. It's humiliating. Everything that could go wrong, there wasn't a bright spot anywhere.
And I actually have breaking Jets news.
Okay.
Manish Mehta, who covers covers gangrene for the New York Daily News, is reporting that this is unconfirmed by the team, but he is reporting that Santonio Holmes, who just yesterday was rumored to only be out a couple of weeks, may now indeed be lost for the 2012 season.
Well, I don't know how to react to that because, frankly, I wanted him to get lost. So I don't wish injuries on him, but let's talk about it because this is kind of a play that people have been talking about. On the play that he got injured, do you think he has any comfortability with throwing that ball up in disgust, or that knowing Santonio's history, being all about himself and not a team player, at least from this analyst's viewpoint, do you think he is that thunder that I hear outside? Charlie Osmond Tremonti just notified that maybe some thunder bumpers rolling in. Anyway, do you think that's just a reactionary play, or do you think he deserves some culpability in that interception return after he threw the ball up and the guy picked it up and he ran?
Well, I mean, honestly, I'm no Santonio Holmes fan. I just think that was just reactionary. I just think he hit the ground, and I think, you know, there's that kind of when you hurt yourself really bad. You know, I'm not just talking about you scrape your knuckles on the wall or something. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, you maybe roll your ankle or you drop a refrigerator on your foot or something, and for a second it doesn't hurt, but then all of a sudden you get hit with that wave of pain. And I think maybe that's a little bit what might have happened. At first, I don't think he felt the pain, and then maybe as he started to hit the ground, the pain just washed over him, and he lost the ball. I'm not going to put too much into that. You know, I would have been screaming like a girl if it hurt my knee as bad as they think he did, and, you know, was falling to the ground. I don't know. I can't really. I've never sprained my MCL or my ACL. I've never torn it. I've never scraped it. I've never had anything done to it. So I don't know what it feels like. Who knows how much pain he was in. So I don't know. Santonio Holmes is a lot of things, but on this, you know, as an independent observer, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and just say it was just the pain and he lost the ball. What are you going to do? And honestly, in the grand scheme of things, what difference did it make?
Well, I'm going to ask you this. In the 30 years of following professional football, have you ever seen anything like that?
No, but if there's one thing I've learned, it's with the Jets, all things are possible. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the Jets bring. I mean, let's look. You know, as my boss would say, let's take a 30,000-foot look at the problem here, right? Let's take a 30,000-foot look at the Jets. The Jets bring in Tim Tebow. They bring in Tony Sparano, and they're going to run the Wildcat, and they get beat by the Wildcat, which they had no idea was coming up from the 49ers on Sunday and had no clue as to how to defend it. I mean, you've got Kyle Kopernikus running all over the field on them. I mean.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to make a point here. Like, in the grand scheme of things, what does it matter? For Jets fans, it does matter because it's just another embarrassing display to add this long laundry list of ridiculousness.
You know what my father would say if he was on the line right now?
What?
That's why they're the Jets.
Yeah.
That's his explanation. He says that's why they're the Jets. That's why they're the Cubs. And he used to say that. Well, sometimes he'd say that's why they're the Islanders.
Now,
that's why they're the Jets. That's all I can tell you.
Here's another play. In the grand scheme of things, what does it matter? They would have lost the game. You get a blocked punt off a one-man rush.
Yeah. Yeah, that was part of Rex Ryan's recipe for an ass kicking, which I have to admit, for the first time since he took that job, he had me laughing. And I was laughing. I mean, I understand he wasn't going for yucks, but it was funny. I wasn't really laughing at him. I was laughing at what he said because he just sounded like, you know what he sounded like? He sounded like Rex from East Rutherford calling into the Big Blue Gangrene Power Hour, just saying, "You want a recipe for getting your ass kicked? Here it is."
I thought that was one of his better press conferences. You know,
the one man punt block and the defense 180 yards on the ground.
How many times have you seen that?
The one man punt block.
Yeah, how many times have you seen that?
Probably a pretty rare one.
Yeah, that's the Jets. Just like your father. That's why they're the Jets.
That's why they're the Jets. What can I tell you?
I'm adding all these things up because this is where it becomes such. It's up. It joins the list of games of just utter embarrassment. And I could see a lot of Jet fans getting disenfranchised from this franchise after performances like that. But you know, if you know what you're getting into, you sign up, you buy a couple shirts, you root for the Jets. You know, this isn't a long tradition of winning. Finding ways to lose is this team's, M.O.
That's their mission statement.
We will find a way to lose. And badly now.
To boldly lose like no team has lost before.
I mean, usually in a 34-0 game, you see like a lot of padding the stats on the losing quarterback. This guy threw for 113 yards. I know the guy has nothing. That offensive line, forget about it. I mean, did you catch that act?
Yeah, not good. You know, I don't want to pile on, but
no,
I mean, it was just I mean, you know, I said to you on the phone, 34-0. But let's face it, you had Akers missing a field goal. Now, granted, I think it was 53, 54 yards, which we know is no chip shot. We'll talk about a 54-yard field goal in a minute as well. But we've seen Akers make those before, so it's certainly not out of his range. The guy's also got a 62-yarder or 60, I forget now, 63-yarder, I think, actually, under his belt. So he's got a leg. So he missed from 54 or 55. And then he missed another one much closer. And then you had Kaepernick pulling the wiffle ball mercy rule at the end there. He took a knee instead of running in the end zone. It could have hung 50 on the Jets or close to it.
The game
could have been 48-0. I mean, I don't care who you are. If that was my team, I mean, my team got blown out in the playoffs a couple years ago, 20-0 or 24-0. That's bad enough. But you cannot let the San Francisco 49ers come into your building. And on Sunday, it wasn't. Although maybe, you know, we're arguing over what to call it. Maybe for now it ought to be Candlestick Park. I mean, you cannot let, you know, and I'm taking this from a Jets perspective. You want to talk about whose house that is. You want to talk about being all the things you want to be. You can't let the 49ers come in and do that to you in your house. And not to mention, you can't let their fans overrun you like they did on Sunday. That place looked like it was 30% red. You can't have that.
When it was 10-0, which was okay. It was respectable at half. You're
right. Yeah, Jets were in that game at the half. And they didn't look good. But look, a 10-0 game, one play turns the whole thing around.
Yeah. And the Jets, the fans were out of it. It was like it was the insurmountable lead, 10-0. They might as well have forgotten about it. And I don't know where all these San Francisco fans came all of a sudden. Where were they?
Oh, they've been hibernating for a couple, 2-3 years now.
A couple centuries. A couple decades.
They've been in hiding, but now all of a sudden, here they come again.
Here they come.
They come. Oh, now, I was there through the Jim Druckenmiller years, they'll tell you. Oh, yeah. I've always been an Alex Smith fan. It was those bandwagon fans that were booing him those first 5 years. Not me.
Still stinks.
I was there when Mike Singletary dropped his pants in the locker room. I've forgotten more about the 49ers than half of these fans will ever know.
Exactly.
These Johnny-come-latelys.
They are, most of them. And you got to, a lot of people didn't make the trip to watch the Jets. So it's a lot of local people, I think.
Yeah. The 49ers are one of those teams that, you know, in the 80s, they were on TV almost every week, you know, Monday Night Football and, you know, the games against the Giants and national games and things like that. You know, they were one of those teams that got a lot of national exposure because they had such a great run. So they built up a fan base. And then, you know, that fan base gets passed on to the next generation, which is why we're still stuck with so many Dallas Cowboy fans. morons right. that they are.
Yeah, we certainly know. We actually know certain. Listen, they're loyal 49er fans, but they got a little poppy a little too quick. Anyway, so the offensive line was terrible. The defense was terrible. The special teams was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean,
other than that, Mr. Lincoln, how was the play?
Yeah. So, I don't know if you caught the end of the Rex Ryan thing when he says, well, I'm giving the players off the next 2 days, and us coaches have to reassess. To me, this struck, and maybe I'm wrong with this, this is the problem with Rex Ryan. He never goes right to the players and says, you're accountable. Now he's going to look at his coaching staff before he looks at the players. It just wasn't – maybe he feels just like I do, that he doesn't have the horses. I mean, but there's no way in today's NFL that you should lose. And you said this game could have easily been 52-0 or 50-0.
Yeah, what's his name? But Steven Carollo wasn't that far off on his prediction.
No. Carollo over there.
He oversold the Jets a little bit, though.
I mean, when you come close to actually making that lunatic look like a swami, you know you failed miserably.
Oh, and he is a lunatic.
Oh, that guy has got mental problems. You cannot be a fan of a team and disparage him that much. You're not a fan. I'm sorry.
Right. I mean, you know, there's got to be, you know, I understand you get down on your team. I think we've all been there with every one of our teams, whether it's, you know, for you, whether it's the Mets or the Rangers or the Jets, or for me, whether it's the Giants, the Rangers or the Mets. You know, we all get down on our teams. We all say things. Sometimes we're seriously pessimistic. Sometimes we're pessimistic in a funny way. But you got to have some optimism or else why bother? Why bother at all if you don't have – I mean, if you have no hope and no reason for hope and you're predicting your team to lose by 45 points, why bother? I mean, why? Why put the shirt on? Why put the hat on? Why tell people you're a Jet fan? I don't get it.
Why are you rooting for a team that you think is hopeless?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for fun, my buddy and I, my buddy Chuck, who's sometimes he pops into the chat room for the Rangers shows, but he's – a little early for him for getting home from work. But anyway, you know, we'll tease each other with pessimistic Giants texts, you know, like we were 5 minutes into the game the other night. The Giants didn't look good. And I texted him. I said, when's the draft?
You know? Yeah.
Or, you know, we'll make jokes like, oh, this game's over. This 4-9-3, you know, you know, if they're lucky, you know, shit wow. like that. But, you know, I mean, come on. It's all a jest. You got to, why put yourself through this if you can't find any reason to find something, anything.
Like me, I mean, I've learned to roll with the punches. I've had a lot of losing with my sports teams, so I'm used to this. This is, you know, you got to make jokes about this stuff. Because if you take it serious, you're going to be in a nut house, and that guy's got to be locked up as far as a sports fan goes. But I digress. Now, I just wanted to get back into the no team in this league should lose. There's no opponent that should lose 34-0 in the NFL. You seriously, I mean, it's a joke. It's an absolute. This isn't like, you know, Michigan versus North Carolina State. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is, you know, college football, it's accepted. Programs are, you know, way ahead of others, you know. But this, in the NFL, to get no points and to give up that many is just ridiculous. It's horrible. It's everything Rex said it was. And so the Jets, they're 2-2. That's the upside. That's what I keep hearing. But, you know, they always say you are what your record says you are. Maybe in this case. It's funny because, you know, they beat Buffalo and they beat Miami. And now Miami looks a little bit better than we maybe originally thought. And the Bills have been okay. They're not horrible, horrible. But I don't know. Maybe it's a confidence thing, and maybe it's just it's a personnel thing, maybe. I don't know. They're certainly bad, and I don't know where it goes from here. There hasn't been that much clamor to get Tebow in. It looks like Rex is going to stay the course, which may be another one of his downfalls, because can Tebow at this point do any worse than Sanchez back there?
No.
That's my take, you know. And he may stay with Sanchez too long because he is a player's coach and he has a history with Mark.
They came in at the same time, didn't they? Sanchez and Ryan?
Yeah.
So, you know, like Coughlin and Manning, you know, they came together as well. They're always going to be intertwined for better or worse. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, Andy Reid and Donovan McNabb, you know, they're always going to be joined, Belichick and Brady, for another example. You know, they're always going to be tied at the hip for better or worse. You know, they coach and quarterback. But, you know, I wonder, you know, I see everybody screaming for Tebow, except this guy Carollo, who's screaming for the third stringer. He's a third string quarterback for a reason. McElroy, this guy, he's going to save the Jets. You don't go to the third string and roll the dice at 2-2. I mean, the season's not over, you know. how is this show? It seems like every week I'm coming on this show and defending the Jets. The fuck did this happen?
Well, you're friends with me, and you know, maybe you're feeling you don't have to. I mean,
trying to be logical, I guess.
Trying to be logical. I think there is a certain empathy with. Some other teams we follow that aren't so successful in other sports. I certainly feel more empathy towards the Giants. I always have, anyway. I told you that. I grew up with a lot of Giant fans. They all seem to be really nice guys. And, you know, I used to hear all the tales of woe that they used to have before they won the two Super Bowls there. Three Super Bowls.
We had a few. And even in between Super Bowls, we still get our tales of woe.
Yeah, the two fossil.
There were some bad losses in there, and hey, even under Tom Coughlin, we still have our share of disasters. But luckily, they make up for them.
A little break going up against Houston.
Yeah, hey, I'll tell you what, I think they're the best team in football right now.
I would agree with you. The loss of Mario Williams hasn't hurt them at all.
No.
Their defense is superb. They have a great balance with Foster and Tate at running back. Their wide receivers are really good. And Andre Johnson and they have Roddy White. Roddy White isn't. I forgot who their guy is. But they certainly have the balance. And Schaub, too, is competent. He's not outstanding, but they have. I don't know. I think they have a really good team. It doesn't get easier for the Jets.
No, I'll tell you what. Boy, you look at the schedule and. Things could get ugly for them real quick, and I'm not just saying that because I'm not a Jet fan. It is what it is. You got Houston coming in next Monday night, and the Jets, they're in a nice little stretch here where they're home for three straight weeks. You know, that's rare in the NFL.
Right.
The Jets got a nice little three-game homestand here, and they started off by getting absolutely shat on by the 49ers. Now you got the Texans. You got Indianapolis coming in the week after that, and they're no pushover. And then they're going to New England. Then they're going to get Miami again at home. And then they're going to go to Seattle. I mean, it could get ugly real quick.
Well,
real quick.
from the Jet fan point of view, yeah, we have three straight home games, but we played the Niners and the Texans, so it kind of counterbalances the division playing two of, like, you know, potential Super Bowl teams that could go to.
Yeah, but you'd still rather have them at home.
Right. Exactly. No,
you know,
you're right there. You know, Indy to me is a team. The Jets, New England. Is that game in New England? They'll lose that game.
The first one, yeah. Then they play at home. They play New England at home on Thanksgiving night.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
I'll be offering up my oh, Thanksgiving. And Seattle, to me, is a little bit I was so glad to see them lose last week. That Pete Carroll, he's a real douche. Like I said. So anyway, yes. Remember last week I said the chum is in the water, and now forget about it. There's a mangled corpse in the water they used to just swallow up. So
we like to run down. You know, we do this all the time on Blue Shirt Underground. We like to run down the schedule and you know, chalk up the wins and the losses. I mean, you look down this schedule right now, and the way the Jets are playing, and who do you look at that you're confident they'll beat? Jacksonville?
No,
maybe
I'm not
St. Louis? Maybe to get Miami again? But I mean, Houston.
They have the Bills pretty well. Last couple of years, they've been able to beat the Bills.
Yeah, but they ain't going to get the Bills until that's the last game of the season. It might be 4-11 by then.
You're the playoff bird.
I mean, they got Seattle in Seattle, which is one of the most brutal places to play on the road. They got to go to St. Louis. They got to play the Patriots twice. They got to play the Cardinals, who are unfathomably 4-0. I can't believe they're 4-0. They got to play the Chargers, the Tennessee. It could get ugly real quick.
It could get ugly, but let's see next week. If they make a respectable showing next week, or if they just, you know, basically it's same old.
What's respectable after you lose 34-0? If they only lose 31-10.
Let's say, you know, they're in the game. See, the MO with the Jets, just to kind of wrap it up, is that the first half is always close. But as the game wears on, that second half is a disaster. I'm telling you, like, if they were to lose 17-7 or something like that, or 24-10, 24-13, something like that, well, they look like they're in the game. But the offense can move the ball. Somebody get rid of Sean Green. Anybody can play. I can't even blame it on one player. It's the whole team blows. Top to bottom.
Yeah, when you lose 34-0 and should have been much worse, there's no one guy to pin it on.
Exactly. So let's talk a little about your gents, the Big Blue.
All right, we'll get to the Giants. Like I said at the top, usually Giant-Eagle games, close games usually. And they usually boil down to two or three plays. This one was no different. You had the Giants, you know, right where they want to be. I mean, this is what they live for. Getting the ball, 2 minutes to go, down. I mean, you know, and I'm not saying this to be arrogant. I know it's going to come off that way.
You arrogant bastard.
I know. It's going to sound that way, but I can't describe it. But, you know, you get the... It wasn't, and I'm not counting the Super Bowl. Okay, the Super Bowl obviously doesn't count because it's the Super Bowl. But you know, they get into these positions, these 2 minute positions, down by two, no timeouts. But whatever, pouring rain, hurricane. You know, Eli's got a broken whatever. And you know, used to be, you sit on the edge of your seat, you're biting the towel like Jerry Tarkanian. If you ever followed college basketball, no,
UNLV.
Right. I knew you'd know, but I didn't know anybody else
though.
But you know, now it's 2 minutes to go. I'm still okay. This is right where we want to be. We got this. I got no problem. Sitting back in the chair, like this is exactly what we want. This is Giants football. Driving him downfield, he gets the pass interference penalty. Everything's fallen into place. 26-yard line. I don't remember how much time was left. And I don't know if you do this, but and I don't know, you know, I don't know who you watch the Jets with. If you watch it with friends, or if you're sitting at home alone, if your wife sits and watches with you. But the Sunday night's game, because it was a night game, I was home by myself. My wife's sitting on the couch, and I'm calling out the plays to her because I, you know, that's my job. I'm the offensive coordinator from the chair. So I'm saying, all right. I said they should run the ball here. I said spread the field, four wide receivers, hand the ball off to Bradshaw. And just pick up yards. I said, all we want to do is get close, be in the middle of the field, and leave no time on the clock. You think they should run the ball here? I said, yes, plenty of time. They can get up, they can clock it, spike the ball, plenty of time. I said, everybody, you know, I think teams get panicky when there's under, like, there'd be a minute and 50 to go when they're rushing up to the line and they're spiking the ball. I think teams rush too much sometimes. Clock management is a bone of contention with me anyway. But anyway, so just everything's fine. Run the ball here. We got plenty of time. Then he throws that long pass. Barden gets the pass interference call, and everything just blows up. Now, the Giants, the Giants are going to try this 54-yard field goal, right? 15 seconds to go. Tynes hits the ball, and I could tell right away it's not going through. It's wide left. I'm like, all right, we're fucked. But as Andy Reid's going to be the genius, Curly Reid, the manatee, look at me. Yep, I'm going to ice the kicker.
Wilford Brimley.
I'm like, well, I don't know if this even makes a difference because, you know, it took me a long time to come around on Lawrence Tynes because he did have some accuracy issues with the Giants early in his career and when he was with the Chiefs before that. But he's become a very solid kicker. But he's not a... he's not a guy that's going to give you 52-yard field goals, 53. You know, he's not a guy that's going to give you 50-plus with any kind of accuracy or regularity. You know,
I want to jump in here just a second.
Sure.
Now, when he missed the first time, did you think the game was over there, or did you know that Reed iced him?
No, I didn't know. I didn't know Reed had iced him until Al Michaels said something on the TV.
Okay.
And I wasn't even sure because I was so busy yelling at the TV. I wasn't even sure if Al Michaels said that Andy Reid iced him or didn't ice him. Like, I thought he said that I was, you know, I couldn't tell. So it still took me a couple of seconds to kind of figure out what was going on. Now, 15 seconds, you've got third and 15, and you're on the 37-yard line, okay? The kicker's already shanked one. We know that this is not a guy who's very accurate from outside of 50 yards. He's just not. He just doesn't have that booming leg like Akers, you know, or Elam or whatever, or Vinatieri.
Guskowski,
right, or Janikowski. There's another one for you. It's just not that. 45 or an in, even 47, guy's money. Guy's great, but 50 and 50 and beyond is no chip shot for anybody. But you're also talking about on grass, you know. You're also talking about the opposite hash mark. A lot of little factors, and I did not like the odds at all. So I'm screaming at the TV now because now you've got a timeout. All right, I'm screaming at the TV. Run one more play. You line up your four wide receivers. You have them all run 3 to 4 to 5 yards, and then you have them all cut towards the out of bounds. Look for somebody, and if not, you get rid of it. Then you try the 54-yard field goal. I just did not like the odds at all of him hitting that ball. No matter how many chances, I think he could have had 10 chances, and he might have hit it once. It's just 54 yards on grass. The odds are stacked against him. I wanted to see them run one more play, try and get 5 yards. And that's all you had to do. Something that you could line up the tight ends out there, you put the running back, whoever. 5 yards, run towards the sidelines, I'll get you the ball. I was, and when he missed again, he fell like a half yard short. I mean, he couldn't have missed it by much more. I was screaming at the TV, why didn't you run one more play? The pass to Barden, that they got the pass interference call on. People are killing Eli for that, and they're killing Coughlin. Well, at least the media is. I didn't really have a problem with that either. The Giants obviously wanted to pick on the corners. They had some success against Asamoah, whatever the hell his name. I always have trouble with his name. I can't spell it. I can't spell it. And I can't say it. But I didn't have a problem with that. Take your if you think you got the shot, you take the shot. Eli lays that ball in there a little bit better, and that's probably a touchdown. Barden had the height advantage on him. I didn't have a problem with it.
Get on them because you have Eli Manning, the best quarterback in that situation in football. I mean, this is what he does. So what are you going to worry about the play call? I mean, wasn't executed, but, 95% of the time Eli makes it, gets that play.
So you had that. I mean, that's boiling the whole game down to the last 15 seconds. But I didn't think the Giants played terribly well on defense. Not enough pass rush. What?
OC was getting burnt like freaking bacon. Hey.
Out-muscled all night long. All night long. I'm starting to wonder a little bit what's wrong with Justin Tuck. He has not been the same player this year. I don't know if he's just lined up out of position on different plays because they missed Chris Canty in there as part of that rotation. I don't know. But Corey Webster doesn't look right. And I'm not just talking about because he's playing with a broken hand. He's got a cast on. He hasn't looked right all year either. He's, in a secondary that's already banged up, he's not helping the situation any. Now you got Kenny Phillips is going to miss a couple of weeks probably. I don't like what I see out of Prince Amakamura. He's playing 10 yards off the ball, off the line last week. I'm going to catch passes. You give me 10 yards. that's not a joke. You give me 10 yards, I'm catching a pass. That's just the way it is. I don't like what I'm seeing from him. But again, it boils down to a couple of plays, as it usually does with Giants Eagles, and it just didn't happen. And the Giants again are 2-2. Cleveland coming in next week, and Cleveland's been tough too. So, Cleveland's playing close games. They're not getting nobody's blowing them out right now. So it's going to be a big test for them. Giants got to take care of business this weekend.
I think they'll do okay. I mean, Cleveland, like you said, has been hanging in there. I just think the Giants, that branch or the lack of a running game is just killing them. You want to talk about screaming? I was actually screaming last night. Now, at Ahmad Bradshaw, I have him on my fantasy team. Right?
Right.
You get a point for every 20 yards rushing, okay, in the league. At this point, I'm tied with the guy I'm playing head-to-head with. 73-73. Pretty good week. But we also have head-to-head matchups. So all I need this clown to get is 3 yards to get it to the point and beat. And you remember that handoff at the end when they were driving there at the end?
He got 1 yard.
So I fall 2 yards short. And
did the peanut M&Ms go flying across the room?
I was like, you effing idiot. Get out of here. Get out of here. He's riding the pine for me. I don't know. And it's funny because I talked to some Giant fans before because I was like saying, what about Bradshaw? But a lot of Giant fans still have a lot of confidence in him. And as a guy who I haven't really paid that much attention to before this season, I mean, what's his MO? What do you think's going wrong there?
Well, the thing I'm starting to wonder about him is that, now we're talking about a guy who is 26, 27, somewhere in that range, runs hard. He doesn't shy away from contact. And you're talking about a guy who's had both feet operated on. Mm-hmm. So, who knows what's going to happen the rest of the season with him. But, if they're going to have to turn to Andre Brown, and they're going to have to hope like hell that Wilson Phillips can hold on to the ball. He's shown some some spark returning kicks. He looked terrific.
Yeah.
But and put him in great field position for that last drive. Couldn't ask for any more than that.
Oh.
But, you know, they don't want to, they're moving him into the offense very slowly. They ran one play. He had one offensive touch on Sunday night, and that was that ridiculously looking shovel pass. And oh, that was a play. That play was designed specifically for him. That play is in there specifically to get him the ball. And it's just, you know, ridiculous. I'm not a fan of shovel passes. You're not John. Only John Elway could do a shovel pass. Yeah. He was the only one I ever saw that could really do it well. You know, right. It's not, you know, I guess it's harder than it looks because nobody else seems to be able to do it. Usually when you see a shovel pass, it's because something broke down, you know.
Well,
the last ditch effort type thing.
Chris Collinsworth, I don't know if you heard his take on Bradshaw, saying that Bradshaw is always looking to bust it to the outside rather than go to the hole where Brown is more of a guy who will go right where the hole, where the play is designed to go to. And it's almost like Bradshaw is kind of improvising.
Right.
It's his take on it. I mean, like I said, I have not watched Bradshaw that much. But wouldn't it make sense to go to where the play is designed, where the opened up?
I mean, Bradshaw's got he's more of an improviser. You know, you've seen plays where Bradshaw run, you know, he'll run in one direction, there's nothing there, and then he goes all the way across, you know, the other side of the field. And, you know, look, a lot of times he makes something out of nothing.
Right.
But whereas, you know, like Collinsworth said, Brown is more of a straight ahead, hit the hole runner. And he did have a few good carries the other night, but Brown did anyway. But yeah, I think they only had 50 yards, 50 something yards on the ground, and they're 27th in the league again. You know, they won the Super Bowl last year, last in rushing, but I would bet almost everything I own that you couldn't do that 2 years in a row. I know they're a pass team first. They're pass happy. They got all these wide receivers.
Passing league. I mean, you know, one thing I'm always astounded is, you know, the Giants can pick up big chunks of yards real fast. I mean, Victor Cruz and Nix and Hickson and Barden actually played pretty well too. I mean, They're able to, they can pick up big chunks real quick. So that's a weapon. You know, I watch a lot of, like, I watch the Falcons game. That's how they're getting, you know. And Michael Turner's good, but he's not really like a running back. You can give it to like 20 times or whatever. He's good. They throw the ball all. Look at New Orleans. All they do is throw. I mean, and they got no defense, but they still throw. Green Bay, Cedric Benson, I don't even know why he's even on the team. I mean, he's looked okay, but he's another guy. They just throw every down.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of teams like that have kind of gone away from the traditional, you know. That's why the Jets are so screwed. They can't do either. They can't run, they can't throw. So that's it. Shut out.
You ready to go to the phones? We're already 45 minutes into this. We got three calls on hold. We got to do the picks, so let's get right to the calls. Costa, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, what's up?
Costa and the cone of silence over there.
Well, first of all, I'm once again gainfully employed.
All right.
What?
You selling lemonade outside your house?
No, I work for AutoZone.
AutoZone, baby. Nice.
I'm a commercial driver.
Nice.
Nice job.
Driving a truck around or like one of the pickups running back and forth to the garages?
Yeah, basically going to the garages, driving and dropping off parts of the garages. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Well, good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Eddie, did you see that article in the Daily News?
I don't read papers. What did it say in the Daily News? I didn't read
Quint
it.
Quint is dead.
They had an interview with Woody Johnson, and he said he cares more about Romney winning the election than the Jets winning a championship or something of that nature.
Oh my gosh, no.
You know, I'm really starting to hate this guy.
It's a bunch of garbage.
Wow, Paulie's here for the football show.
Paulie's showing up everywhere now. Yeah, there's something wrong with this guy. And, you know...
I told you before, this guy does not care about winning a championship. He does not care.
He just wants to bring in names. So, I don't know what. I don't think he can. You're right. Romney. Give me a freaking break. Your main priority is the Jets. Screw the country. Screw the toilet. Who cares? We got football, bread and circus. That's all we want. We're Americans. Bread and circus where the country falls apart. She's worried about the president. Presidential race. Woody Woodpecker over there.
Thank God Mario's not here. He's a big Romney guy.
Oh, jeez. Like Abby Hoff of our...
Abby Hoff.
Of our Rage of Blue Shirt Underground.
I love it. Abby Hoffman.
He is. I think he even looks cool like Abby Hoffman.
It's great.
So, what, Costa? What? Where are you? This is going to be a good one. Where are you on the Santonio Holmes thing? You think he did this
on purpose?
It's basically like, I don't care. I'm hurt. I'm throwing the ball up.
You know what? I've made my. My opinion note on the chat, so and I'll leave it at that.
Okay. All right. And
but the Jets were stupid to sign this guy. They were so stupid, and they gave him guaranteed money too on top of it. Friggin' morons.
Exactly.
Man.
I don't know why the Jets continue to bring in people that have suspect work ethics and suspect characters. And, that's, again, might be, Woody Woodpecker's workings. He brings in Tebow. Where are you on the Tebow Sanchez thing? Are you like, enough of this Tebow as a wide receiver, just start him in a game. And you throw him to the Wolves against the Texans. There's a lot of people are saying, let him play against the Texans and get hurt, so then there won't be any quarterback controversy. What do you think?
I don't know.
You don't know. You got an opinion. You're all about opinions.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
I think this AutoZone is zapped you of all your conscious.
Now we got.
You're in the zone.
Auto zone.
You know what? I don't. If they do start him in week, was it week six now or week five?
Five.
If they start him week five against Houston, I'm not gonna complain.
You think they probably give Sanchez one more chance and maybe start Tebow against Indianapolis. That's what I'm thinking.
Because they can't do any work. I mean, the problem is not the quarterback. The problem is the quarterback has no weapons. Has Ungots.
He's got Ungots. Right. He's got an offensive line and he needs a motorcycle back there. Plus, he's short. What do you think about that? Do you buy into that Sanchez is too small, short to play the position?
How tall is he?
He's
6'2"? 6'3"?
He is?
6'2".
He knows 6'2".
He's listed at 6'2". What can I tell you?
Let's put it this way. What's it called? One with an Baltimore one with an with a mediocre quarterback. So anything is possible.
Yeah, I mean, and to be fair, I mean, I'm not saying that Stephen Hill is a world beater, but he didn't play in the game. Dustin Keller, that injury is killing him because, you know, he's a tight end and he's a pretty good tight end. They can move the ball with him. You know, him and Sanchez have a little bit of a long view going there. There's just so much to fix. You know, if this Dyke, so to speak, is bringing so many leaks, you know, it's like a 3
Would you tank?
Plumbing job. What?
Would you tank?
No, not at 2-2. If it's 2-4, then I'm all with let's get the number 1 here.
All right, Costa.
All right. Ciao.
Right. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, ciao.
Bye. All right, let's see. Who's this? 631-901. You're on the Big Blue Gangrene Power Hour. Who's this?
Hey, guys, it's King. What's up?
Hey, what's up?
Jimmy, I'm going to be at the Giant game this weekend. I don't want to see a letdown, but I'm thinking that might be a possibility coming off this Sunday night game.
Well, I don't know how you have a letdown after a loss.
My thing is, they came off the Tampa Bay game. They had 3 days in between. They won big. And then this time around, you play Thursday night, and then you have to go to the Sunday night game, and they lost. I don't know what to expect anymore.
It's Philly. You know, those games with Philly, they're always toss-ups. All the problems that everybody was talking about with the Eagles going into that game, turnovers and this and that. And that. You knew they were going to, everything was going to be fixed in time to play the Giants. That's just the way it is. Those Giant Eagle games are toss ups. They have been for as long as I've been alive. They have a tendency to come down to the last play, as you may or may not know. But
true.
I'll tell you what. Let me put it this way: I do believe the Giants will win on Sunday. But if I'm a betting man, there's no way I'm taking the Giants giving 9 points. No way.
Too big a margin.
I've been watching the Giants too long to know better than to bet on them laying 9 points to a team like Cleveland at home.
The only weapon Cleveland really has is the running back.
You'd be surprised how many weapons can pop up against the Giants in a game like this. Don't be surprised if it's 24-21 Giants and they have to win with a late field goal. From 54 yards.
If you look at last year, we had a lot of trouble beating some teams like Cleveland, so I wouldn't be surprised if this happens again this year. If we win great. But
it's gone on a lot longer than last year. This is the Giant. You go back and look at the Parcells days. They've always had struggles against teams they should beat. They should have been beaten. But what are you going to do? That's just their history. That's their legacy. This is what it means to be a Giants fan. It's never, ever, ever easy. How many easy
Even
ones? How long have you been a Giants fan? How are you? How old are you?
I'm 16, so.
Oh, Jesus, you're 16. Jeez, I got hair older than you. All right. So let's say for the last 6 years you've been following the Giants to the point where you're watching them every Sunday and you're really following what's going on. In the last 6 years, how many laughers do you think the Giants have had? And I bet you if you go back and look, it's no more than 4. I'm talking,
I would say around 4 to 6.
Yeah. You got the Carolina game this year. You got the Atlanta
game. The game that ended
at
Giants Stadium. The last game at Giants Stadium.
They got their ass handed to them. I'm talking about how many Giant games have you seen where they've blown out the opponent? I'll bet it's 4 to 6.
Yeah, around. I was actually at the one with Wilmington Mara, the game after he died against Washington.
Okay,
so
that was
a
35-0 blowout, I think, something.
Yeah,
like
41-0, something like that.
But there haven't been many. And it's
around 4 to 6.
That's just the way the Giants are. It's the way they've always been. Back to Parcells. So, all right, well, King, enjoy the game on Sunday. Eddie and I are going to get to the picks and wrap things up, and we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the game. Post some pictures in the Facebook group.
I don't have Facebook, but I'll post them to Twitter, and then if there's a way, you can post them to Facebook.
Sounds good. Send them to me on Twitter, BSU Radio Jim.
All right, no problem. Great show, guys. Keep it up.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
You too.
There you go.
There you go, King. And all right, we got just a couple of minutes to go. We'll get to the picks here. Last week, Eddie, you were I had it written down here. What'd you do? 1-1-1, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, you were 1-1-1. You had the Bears, who trounced Dallas last night. Loved it. Couldn't happen to a nicer team. You had the Giants +2. That was a tie. And you had Tennessee +12. That was a loss. I had San Francisco giving 4 points. That was close. Squeaker. Seattle laying 2.5. That did not happen. And Tampa Bay laying 3. That did not happen. So I was 1-2 last week. I am 4-3-2 for the year. You are 2-5-2 for the year so far this year. I get to pick first this week. I have my picks ready. I did them before we went on the air. So let's cue the music. Where is it? There it is. Little NFL Films Autumn Thunder. Here you go, my picks of the week. Like I said, no way I'm touching the Giants laying 9 at home. I don't like it. But I do like the Atlanta Falcons, the unbeaten Atlanta Falcons, favored by 3 over Washington in Washington. I'm going to take the red-hot Chicago Bears off their big win over Dallas. Did I just screw up one of your picks? Laying 5.5 in Jacksonville, where they had a torrential rainstorm the other day for their game. I think against, I forget who they played now, Buffalo maybe? I don't know. Anyway, and then finally, I am picking against the New York Jets. I will take the Houston Texans, giving 7.5. There you have it. I have Atlanta -3, Chicago -5.5, and Houston -7.5. I try and bounce back from my off week last week. And we'll give Eddie a minute to change his Chicago pick.
I just did already.
Oh, we did already. All right. So hold on. Hold on so I can write down who you pick. All right. Go. Shoot. What do you got?
The Ravens lack up on that defense. We get 10 feet. They're giving 5.
Hold on a second.
Matt Castle, he may start the game, but Brady Quinn might be in quarterback for them. It's just a franchise. They got a bit of the back up. That, I think Ravens will exploit that. I like Denver giving 7, actually getting 7 from New England. I think Peyton Manning found his groove. It's tough to win in New England, but New England's already lost at home this year. New England games. New England actually was losing that game against Buffalo West, and they totally shellacked them at the end. I like Denver getting 7. I'll take the points with that. And then I'm going to take the Bills, who are getting 9.5 from San Francisco. I think that's way too many points for San Francisco to give anybody, except if they were playing the New York Jets again.
So you're not worried about Buffalo flying all the way out to San Francisco, playing at 10 o'clock in the morning? You're not worried about any of that? Actually, it's 1 o'clock that game.
Seriously, come on. It's not like the old days when Jet Propel, before Jets were invented. It's a flight.
All right. So you got Baltimore -5, Denver +7, Buffalo +9.5.
There you go. Another book.
I like it.
Books.
I like it.
I can't prepare after you gave me the line.
All right. So we will see you guys next Tuesday. Still nothing. There is nothing to report on hockey other than there's nothing to report. Brandon Dubinsky signed with the Alaska Aces. There's your hockey story for today. Tryout.
Play in camp with the whale.
Chris Kreider in camp with the whale. Other than that, talks have broken off. There's nothing going on. They may meet again on Friday. They may not. I think if you're an NHL fan, you better settle in. This one's going to be a while. Other than that, enjoy the week, and we'll talk to you next week. Eddie, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Good night, everybody.
Good night.